All right, you have here the description of that particular period that's given to us. And it's presented to us like this. Verse 1 now, chapter 12 of Zechariah. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord. Now you notice all the way through here, especially in this section that is rejected today, you have a particular emphasis upon the statement of Zechariah again and again that he's not giving you his idea, but this is what thus saith the Lord. This comes directly from God. And when you reject this, you are not a higher critic with a little superficial knowledge, and you are able to make certain very intellectual statements and say you don't believe this and you don't believe that. But my friend Zechariah says here that this is the word of the Lord. Now, he's either accurate, he either means what he says, or he is a liar. There's no between. And when you reject it, and I don't care who you are, you've made this man a liar. And you know what? I don't think he's a liar. I think you are, if you reject this. Now, there's a program presented. Now, it's the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel. It's the burden of the word. It's a prophecy. It is a judgment. And it goes on, saith the Lord. It's the word of the Lord, saith the Lord. Now, that certainly is coming down hard on this. But notice he's not even through with it. He says, who stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within. Now, there are here three great statements. And these three great statements give to us a sublime description of God as the creator of this universe and of everything that is in it. It's a tremendous statement that we have here. It's an overwhelming statement. Now, first of all, he says, he's the one that stretcheth forth the heavens. The psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and all of that above us, that declares his glory, and it shows his handiwork. And it's being stretched out several years ago, quite a few years now. Sir James Jeans, an astronomer in England, advanced a theory that I think has been pretty well accepted among astronomers, as far as I understand. And that is that this universe is expanding, and he wrote the book, This Expanding Universe. And I understand he was a Christian, by the way. And that this universe, even since I've been talking today, is probably several million miles bigger than it was when we started. That's really stretching things, and there's no stretch like this. Well, I want to tell you that you and I are living in a universe where these tremendous creations of God are moving away from each other, and they're streaking across the universe. He stretcheth forth the heavens. How great God is. And he layeth the foundation of the earth. Now, he's taken particular attention, he's given actually, to this little earth that we live on. And today, man just can't be satisfied that he lives in a universe that he's the only human being that's around. And so we've been sending out missiles, guided missiles, not to another nation, but out to these other worlds, and we're not bugging them with taping anything they might say, but we sure looking in their front window to see if they might be there. And there's been nobody there. It's God who laid the foundation of this earth. And then the most remarkable thing, he formeth the spirit of man within him. Man's a little different creation than anything that's on this earth. He's above anything that's on this earth. But he's not up to the created intelligences that we call angels. And I think the universe today is filled with God's created intelligences. I don't mean that they're the men from Mars. They're finding out now Mars is a place, if you lived, you'd want to be moving right away. And you and I are living in a universe where it looks like it's not inhabited. But I don't think God has a vacancy sign hanging out anywhere, and I think you move out of our solar system that you'll find God's created intelligences are in this universe. They are spiritual creatures, and our cameras are not apt to pick up any of them, I can assure you. What a glorious picture this gives of God as the creator. Men years ago that were called deists believed that there was a creator. They were none of them evolutionists, and that God created the universe, and that he went off and left it. He just forgot about it. He wound it up, started it off, and then he walked off. They were called deists. Well, this verse reveals that God didn't walk off and leave it, that God actually is immanent in his universe, as well as being outside of it. And it reveals that there is the great activity of God, not only out yonder in the heavens. That's great, of course, tremendous, as he's moving this great universe that we're in. And you talk about filled with energy. You and I are living in a universe that's filled with energy. It's man that's depleted the energy on this little world that we live on. I don't think God put but just enough of it down here to last us until he's ready to move in and take it over again. It looks like our filling station is running out of gas, the one we live on down here. That's another reason I think we're moving to the end of this age. Now, we find that God is working with a very definite and positive action as far as this universe is concerned. And he is the one, therefore, that has formed the spirit of man. He is our omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing God. He is wisdom and knowledge. May I say to you that this has been called one of the most magnificent eschatological vistas to be found in the Word of God here. And yet it is disbelieved today by even a great many who call themselves conservative or evangelical. That's a word that covers a multitude of sins also.